A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not yet seen, but will come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the beauty of this day and this family that is gathered in your midst. May your words be spoken and your words heard. Amen. And amen. Please be seated, everyone. So welcome to the week after. The victory and the triumph and the hallelujahs and the banners and the bells and all of the wonderful, wonderful joy that we experienced last Easter Sunday. But we are here 1 week later, and I am grateful for today's reading, because we can't always be on the mountaintop. How many of you, I mean, you don't necessarily have to raise your hands, but think about this. How many of you have had mountaintop spiritual experiences? You might have gone to a retreat or some kind of worship service, and you are flying with God, and it's a wonderful feeling. And the best that we can hope for is to be able to take that feeling, because we can't stay on the mountaintop the whole time, and incorporate it into our daily lives somehow, some way. And this scripture today is part of what happens after. What happens in all our lives. What happened in the life of Thomas. You know that there are, I've shared this with you before, there are 3 years to the scriptures, the way they're broken apart in the church. You're A, B, and C, and we're in your C. But in all 3 years, on the Sunday after Easter, this is the reading that is read. Doubting Thomas. And I gotta tell you, my two favorite Bible people, one in the Hebrew scripture and one in the Christian scripture, are Moses and Thomas. Why, you may ask? Because in their authentic selves, they needed answers to questions, they needed experiences, and they were not going to just sit by and let life pass them by. What does Moses do? He cannot figure out why his people are still in bondage after 400 years and a gazillion prayers. So he takes it upon himself to go up to the mountain. God, you and I are going to have a chat. Because he believes so much in his people and the need for them to be set free that he wants to hear from God's own lips why it's not happening fast enough. And Thomas was not going to take the word of his disciple buddies and friends. He needed something in his own soul. He needed proof, but not proof in the way that it might be described in the scripture, that he just didn't believe with his mind until he saw the wounds in Jesus' hands and feet and side. But he wanted something deeper, and that's what I'd like to explore this morning. Because I think as humans, we get caught up in just the burden of proof. Show me what's there so I can intellectually believe. And I think there's a heck of a lot more than that. Because Thomas, if you do any scriptural study or theological study about Thomas, Thomas was one of the disciples that was closest to Jesus in terms of ingesting his teaching, because he had the true call in him that he was going to go out and spread the good news. He didn't have any fear of going out of where he was eventually. Does anybody know where Thomas landed up? And to this day, is still well recognized and revered. Does anybody know? Not you? India. Thomas took it upon himself to go to India and spread the good news, and you will find many monuments and churches and places where Thomas is mentioned with such awe and respect because he took that call and went and shared the good news with people in India. But, you know, Jesus came back, and everybody was whooping and hollering, and yay! But Thomas needed more. Thomas needed something that was going to fuel him for him to go out and do the eventual ministry that he would. So what do we think that Thomas and all the disciples were really feeling at this point when Jesus came back to them? They were confused. They were uncertain. Their rock had gone away. Not just gone away, but brutally murdered, disrespected, spat on, humiliated. This was the rock that they were clinging on to for their very lives. They were giving up all they had because they believed in Jesus' teachings and wanted to be part of that new creation. And all of it was gone, ripped away from them. Now, what were they going to do? Could they really honestly go back to their lives and just pick up where they left off before Jesus entered their existence? I don't know. Probably not. So how do we make room for Thomas in our world to this day and age? Because Thomas really gets a bad rap in church stuff. Doubting Thomas, the weak one, the wimpy one, the one who couldn't believe that anything that was told to him. No, 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 he's got to see it for himself. He will not accept anybody else's testimony. And these are people that he ate with, taught with, laughed with, cried with. He didn't have any part of it. So he must be really weak. But you know what? I personally do not see weakness in Thomas. No, not at all. He was one of the few that knew exactly, way deep down inside, what he needed to fill him, to restore him, to bring him back to life. And it was to be in Jesus' presence again. The proof he needed was that intimate encounter again with his Lord. He needed to have that feeling. You know, we've all experienced this. When you've seen a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a friend you haven't seen in a long time, family member you haven't seen in a long time, when you finally lay eyes upon him, your heart beats a little faster, the smile goes on your face, and you feel that much better because something that has been away from you is now back with you. And that's exactly what Thomas needed. He didn't want intellectual words. He wanted his heart to beat a little faster and his blood to flow a little faster because he was with Jesus. How How many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand for this one either, but I'd like you to think about it. How many of us feel that as we look at our lives in a whole perspective, not every time, but most times, that we have the courage to speak up for what we want? I want you to think about that for a second. The sad thing is that most people, many people, do not speak up for what they want because they're afraid, they're ashamed, they think that they'll be thought of as silly or weird, but it's something that's truly in their hearts. And then they try and justify it by saying, you know what, somebody else will speak up for me. Somebody else has got to feel exactly the way I do, so they'll actually have the courage to say it, and I will be spared the possibility of being laughed at. And then there are some people who don't even have that hope to cling on. They won't speak up for themselves. They don't believe anybody else will speak up for them. And they say, who even really cares about me and what I possibly think? It really has no value. Someone will have to stand up for those that face injustice and poverty and homelessness and mental illness and diseases of all kinds. Somebody else will have to take care of that because nobody really cares about me. Thomas comes to believe because Thomas has the courage to know what he needs and to go get it. Because didn't Jesus promise that? Didn't he say, in fact, let's take a look at this for a second. John, the 14th, we read it, 14th verse, we read it today. And you know to the place where I am going, and Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where we're going. How can we know the way? What does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except through me. Thomas took those words literally. And he said, okay, then I'm coming to you because I need to be with you. I need to in my own mind, reset the horrible scene that I have continuously playing over and over again of death and destruction and humiliation. It goes in and out of my mind and I can't stop it. And the only way I will be able to stop it is if I can be in your presence just one more time. And when he does, he says some of the most profound words found in Scripture. Not a big long dissertation, but some of the most profound words. Jesus, my Lord and my God. I think that faith, and this is probably going to contrast with a lot of teachings that are out there, faith is made stronger because of doubt. Doubt plus courage. We all have doubts. Even if we're not honest enough to admit it, we all have doubts. The thing is, what do we do with those doubts? Because what I propose to you is that what we do with those doubts, that X factor, leads us to have a bigger font size for the word faith in our lives. Are we willing to go to God in prayer and say, I don't get this, I need your help? Are we willing to go to Scripture and other sacred texts to look for the answers that we need? And for a minute, if we think that God doesn't know that we have these questions, we're fooling ourselves. God knows that we don't know. God knows that and in the light of the resurrection. What's our part in this? How do we become resurrected like Jesus was resurrected? Through the X factor, doubt plus X equals faith or faith. What questions are you willing to ask? Because the way, the truth, and the life opens the door for us to be able to ask those questions. It invites us to come in with our authentic selves, with all that we bring, all the baggage and all the joy of our lives, and say to God, I am here. Help me to know you more deeply, intimately, that the hole in my heart may be filled, and I may be able to witness to others. And Thomas, the one that we read every year after Easter, sets the example. Because he goes seeking Jesus, he needs that proof, but how does Jesus react to him? Does he say, hey, loser, haven't you figured this out yet? Everybody told you I was here, and you don't believe them. No. He says, come. Come see, come touch. Fill yourself so you may go and fill others. Because Thomas will have to say to people, blessed are those who believe who have not seen. He will have to be able, in his authentic self, to say that to people. That's why Jesus said, okay, you asked, I'll answer. Come and see. That gives him the strength that he needs to go into the world and preach the gospel. So I am grateful to Thomas. And I don't give him a bad rap. I call him Courageous Thomas. Because he sets the way. He shows us that we can have our questions answered anytime, any place, anywhere. Because in answering those questions, we can experience for ourselves a deeper experience of God's love. And it's that love that's going to be able to send us out into the world and meet others desperately, desperately need to know what we know. So get your questions answered. Pray, read, talk to somebody, but do it with the mindset of, I believe just as you showed Thomas, Lord, show me.